To introduce the theme of our service, I want to tell you the story that I read about Chippy the budgerigar. Chippy the budgie never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang and she turned to pick it up. She'd barely said hello when Chippy was sucked into the vacuum. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. And there was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. And since the bird was covered with dust and with soot, she decided to take it into the kitchen and run Chippy under the tap. And then, realizing that Chippy was now shivering, she decided to do what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted him with the hot air. Poor Chippy, he never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, Chippy's owner was asked how the bird was recovering. Well, the owner replied, Chippy doesn't sing anymore. He just sits there and stares. It's not hard to see why. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. That's enough to steal the song from the strongest heart. Well, in the Old Testament, we hear about Job, who endured a great deal that would steal the song from his heart. He had his questions, and finally God answered him. But the word of God came to Job in an unexpected way, as we hear now from Job chapter 38 and verses 1 to 11. God spoke to Job out of the storm. But since the days of Job, God has spoken to us in a more personal way through his own Son, Jesus Christ, and his teachings. We listen to his teachings to the disciples in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of light and life, and impart to us thoughts higher than our own thoughts, and prayers better than our own prayers, and powers beyond our own powers, that we may spend and be spent in the ways of love and goodness, after the perfect image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for my sermon this evening are those powerful words that we heard from Job chapter 38 and verse 1. The Lord answered Job out of the storm, or out of the whirlwind. And in my sermon this evening, I want us to explore the way in which Job encounters God in that moment in his suffering. To put the text of Job 38 into context, we know that in the preceding two chapters, the teacher Elihu sets forth a beautiful hymn to the greatness of God, to God's wisdom and power. Elihu claims to speak on God's behalf, but he blames Job that he has brought all of this suffering upon himself. He is Job's comforter, but he brings Job little comfort. We know that Elihu, taking a position of superiority, isn't going to help Job. At times of sadness and loss and questioning, we don't need a lecture, but instead we need companionship and solidarity. God knows this. So Elihu's great speech is cut short by God here at the start of chapter 38. It is as if God cuts him short and says, "Be quiet. Enough of your words. Listen to what I have to say." From Job chapter 1 until this point, God has been silent. Suddenly, here in chapter 38, God breaks his silence. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind." Imagine that. Imagine a voice, a conversation in a whirlwind, a storm or a hurricane. Impossible. Then again, in the Bible, conversations with God are rarely an easy task. Moses found himself talking to a burning bush. Isaiah's encounter with God temporarily sealed his lips. And Job's encounter is equally remarkable. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, or out of the tempest, as some translations have it. Unlike Elijah's experience, who hid away in the cave, the Lord passed by, but it was only in the still small voice that Elijah heard. Unlike him, the voice of God is heard by Job in the whirlwind. Think about pictures that you have seen on television or films featuring a whirlwind or a cyclone. Our world has seen many major cyclones and hurricanes recently in Japan, in the United States, and in many other countries. A whirlwind is destructive and impartial. It can destroy one home and leave the neighboring home untouched. A whirlwind is frightening, and people will do anything they can to get out of its path. It leaves in its wake great destruction, flooding, broken homes, and broken lives. And its victims are left to pick up the pieces once again. The way I see it, a whirlwind is a pretty accurate description or metaphor for human suffering and death. Like the whirlwind, suffering and death are also impartial and similarly destructive. We are frightened and Naturally, we want to avoid their terrible impact on us and our loved ones. Like the whirlwind, suffering and death leaves in its wake terrible destruction, broken lives and homes. And we are left to pick up the pieces and begin again. And yet for Job, for us, the whirlwind is the very unexpected place of encounter. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. What are we to make of this? Well, the truth that we see here in the book of Job and in our own experience is that God responds to us when we are right in the midst of life's storm or whirlwind, when we are in that place of suffering or grief. God is not absent or distant. God is present. God is real. Not that God sends all of that, but God is there. God's answer is God's presence. Nothing more, nothing less. And that is why the poet Edwin Markham could write this about his life. At the heart of the whirlwind tearing the sky and flinging the clouds and the towers by is a place of central calm. So here in the roar of mortal things, I have a place where my spirit sings in the hollow of God's palm. Nothing can pluck us from his loving hand. God always brings his children safely home, safely through. God is greater than any chaos or evil that we can encounter. As we heard in the reading that Brian gave to us, the storms, the chaos, are ultimately contained and subdued. God is sovereign. God is our anchor. His love is that fixed point that holds us in our ever-changing lives. In all weathers, however dark the sky, God is there. He is greater than any trial we face. In the presence of human suffering, listen for the voice of God answering us out of the whirlwind. And when the Lord answers us, then with Job, we are reassured and we can find the strength to carry on. The writer Richard Rohr describes this powerful image for us further when he wrote, "Here God is characterized as living in the heart of the whirlwind." An amazing image. Out of the whirlwind, truth comes. A tornado, as it were. You can't hold this God down. You can't explain this God. This God is dynamic, in motion. While our definitions are always static, trying to put God in a box, saying God is this or that. And for Christians, it is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who shows us best of all the presence of God in the storm. He has shared our suffering and our pain at its most painful level. He was no stranger to the tempest, no stranger to suffering. As we heard in those words from Hebrews 5, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of salvation to all who obey him. This reminds us that, like Jesus, we are to pray in the midst of the whirlwind. Jesus was heard by his Father, and God hears us too. He wasn't spared or saved from suffering or death, but was brought through it all to a new resurrection life. And his disciples follow where he has led. We have hope of glory and eternal salvation, but with it also the knowledge that we will also share in his sufferings. No cross, no crown. Jesus warned James and John, who had their hearts set on glory, "The cup that I drink, you will drink." And we know that was the cup of suffering and death. No wonder in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." And we are told that then an angel from heaven appeared and gave him strength. Not my will, but yours be done. When we know the Lord's presence in the whirlwind, those very actions and words of Jesus can be our only reply, to kneel and pray, "Not my will, but yours be done." And we too will be strengthened. So in this week ahead, whether you're facing the storm yourself, or whether you can see that storm touching the lives of others, hold on to that truth that God answers us in the midst of the whirlwind. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, our life's experience reminds us that in our troubles, you do not helicopter us out, but in Jesus, you parachute in to where we are. He comes to be with us, and he has the power to change and to save. So, Lord, draw near to us, we pray, and to those we know who are in the midst of the storm, bring your strength, bring your courage, we pray, and bring us through for you are our strong deliverer. Amen.